Tonight, turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is not normally would be considered a Thanksgiving type message or at least passage of Scripture. But since Sunday, when you have service on Tuesday, it comes around really quick. And I was thinking about service tonight and some things that, a lot of times we say, I wish I lived in a different age or a different time. I've heard people say, I wish I lived back in the days gone by. It didn't seem to be as wicked as then, but I'm sure it was. They just didn't have the communication, didn't have the knowledge of all the things that took place. But a lot of times folks say, I just wish I was living in another age or another era of time. But when we think about that, we read these verses tonight, I'm glad I'm living while I'm living. Glad I'm living in the time frame that God has given to us, because I believe we are living in that period of time that we know of as the catching away or the rapture. And I'm glad tonight that one day He is coming. Amen. And we could very possibly be the generation that would experience not having to die. And I'm not afraid of dying, but I don't want to die. I'm sure you can identify with that. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of what I don't know about death, I guess is the best way to put it. And we sometimes we don't know how we're going to leave this world. Don't know what the problems might be. But I want us to think tonight that we are living in a generation that we should be thankful that God has placed us in this time frame, because we could very well see the coming of the Lord day after tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And it's really possible the Lord could come before Thanksgiving. It's really possible the Lord could come before we get home tonight, because I believe everything is in place. Everything is set. And but one of these days we'll be caught away. I guess if I was going to title tonight, we just put, caught away, or living in the age of His coming, and being thankful that the Lord would permit us to see His reappearance. Generation after generation has looked for His coming, and those generations have passed off, and that's not been reality in their life. We have looked for it. All the years of being a Christian, we have looked for for His coming, and it hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. And so tonight I want us to read these verses. Verse 13 through 18 is used for many different occasions. We use these verses when we preach on the coming of the Lord. We use these verses when we speak about the resurrection. We use these verses at funerals for encouragement. And so these few verses here tonight have been used over and over again for many different occasions in the lives of His people, because verse 18 says we comfort one another with these words. And so these words are comforting whatever, wherever we find ourselves in life. And when we think about this, it does comfort us and instruct us. So tonight let's read verse 13 down through verse number 18. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you know not even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul tells us here that he doesn't want the believer to be ignorant. Ignorant is not a bad word. It just means a lack of knowledge. And Paul says, I want you to know about when the Lord comes. And he said, I don't want you to have ignorance in your mind concerning them which are asleep and those that are asleep in Christ. Now, Paul certainly was not teaching here soul sleep as some religions teach us, because the soul does not sleep. The soul goes back to the Creator, goes back to the Lord as a believer, and awaits the reunification of the body with the soul and the spirit. And the word there, sleep, means to be dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. And so he's talking about the passing of a believer, the passing of a child of God. And he said, I don't want you to sorrow as those that have no hope. There are many people in our world, many people in our community, many people in our own families have no hope because they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a great privilege to be a Christian during this age in which we live. These are great prophetic verses that are given to us. And the next event that comes on the scene is what is given to us here, that we're going to hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to hear the sound of a trumpet. We're going to go up to be with the Lord. That's the next thing on the prophetic time chart that is to happen. Prophetically, nothing will take place until that takes place first, because we're living in what the Scripture calls what we call the church age. Some people call it the age of grace, but I prefer to use the church age, because this age in which we're living, God has chosen to deal with people through the local church, through the church of Jesus Christ. In different times and different eras, I do adhere to the dispensations that are, I believe, taught in the Scripture. I don't think we ought to be ultra or hyper dispensationalists, where that we preach and teach that every generation or every dispensation had a different way of getting to heaven, because I believe all of it has been by grace, by the grace of the Lord. And that's why I call this not necessarily the age of grace, because I think all of them have been, but I call this the church age. And so we're living in that period of time that is revealed to us when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord began right at that moment, and probably even before that verse of Scripture, he had already called his disciples together. And in Matthew 18, we find that Jesus is talking to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And he began to build it. He continues to build it. On the day of Pentecost, the church received the power of the Holy Spirit, or the power of God, to literally fulfill the commission that Jesus had given them. And that commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, there's no way that a group of people could do that without the power of God. And so the Lord told them to wait until they was endued with power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses. And so he gives them the walking, working orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that's been happening from the time of Christ unto this moment. The book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 gives us seven churches that give us a pretty good historical view of what the churches has been or have been throughout the generations. And we come to the Laodicea church, and it's lukewarm, it's not cold, it's not hot. And the Lord said, I wish it was one way or the other, because I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that describes the generation that we are in right now. And so we are at the end of the church age. We're at that moment of the coming of the Lord. And there's certain things that we have before us. And these prophecies that are given to us will take place when the Lord comes. And we are caught away. We're caught up to Him. Then Revelation begins to come into view. And Christ's return and then the judgment of the Lord upon this world. But there's a way that we can live. We live in this period of time, and I just put here that we live in light of the countdown. It's sort of like watching the hour go by. We see the clock, the hands of the clock move. Here in a few weeks, it'll be New Year's Eve, and the clocks will tick at that midnight hour, and it'll be a countdown. That ball will drop there in New York City, and they count that down that last minute. And I believe we're in the last minute. I believe we're in the countdown of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each day brings us closer to Christ's return. He didn't come today, not so far, but we're closer to it than we were yesterday, because time progresses and time goes forward. And the prophetic clock, the clock of time, never stops. It never runs down. It continues to go on. And there's a point, there's a time known, the Bible says, known only unto the Father, that one of these days, when that time hits, then the Lord will be told it's time to come and receive us unto Himself. He'll come in the clouds. We'll go up to meet Him in the air, and we'll be caught away with Him, and certainly we'll be forever together, and we'll be gathered unto Him. And so these things, in light of the countdown, we are to rejoice that we live in this time frame. Paul thought he would see the coming of the Lord. Every generation from the time of Jesus Christ until now, those of professing Christians, they have all believed they would see the coming of the Lord. They all believed that they would have a visual of Christ, and they would hear the sound of the trumpet. They might not have understood everything like we understand it. I was thinking this afternoon, I can't imagine John writing all the things that he did in Revelation and not understanding a lot of what he wrote. But we look back as part of that as being history, and we can see as it transpired, we can see it in historical facts that it happened just like the Lord told John it would happen. And the same thing in the book of Daniel. Daniel wrote all those things about the kingdoms of the world before there ever was a kingdom to be written about other than the one he was in. That was the Babylonian kingdom. So the countdown continues on. And we ought to be thankful the Lord has put us in this time frame that we might just be living when Jesus comes. I don't want to die. I don't want to get out of this world. I'd like to go to be with the Lord the way it's spoken of here. I don't want to be part of the dead in Christ. I want to be part of the living in Christ when He comes. And I believe that's the desire of every Christian. So the countdown, the prophetic clock goes forward. Time marches on. We have the saying that time stops for no one. That certainly is true. Every tick of the clock will never be recovered or regained. And the countdown of life continues. And the urgency of life, because as we grow and go through this life, we grow older. And then there's a day that we shall leave this world. And sometimes dreams are realized, but sometimes dreams are dashed. And sometimes to keep us away from what we really, opportunities that we want to take, sometimes death overtakes us. And but thank God, before death overtakes us, He may take us over. And so tonight we live in the light of the countdown of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. So Paul says there's going to be some alive and some remaining, and he included himself in that because he used that little word, we. We shall be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Shall not prevent is the word here, but it really is the word means precede. We're not going to go and not precede them which are asleep, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so he gives us the order of resurrection. A lot of people have no knowledge of the coming of the Lord, no evidence in their life that they know. They do not even see the abundance of the things that God gives us. There's a lot of things we can look at and see that the Lord is revealing Himself, that He is coming. There are what we call signs of the time. An old song years ago said, signs of the time are everywhere. And certainly they are. Wars and rumors of wars, famine, diseases, natural disasters, pestilence. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah's day was a day of rejection of the Word of God. And certainly we live in that time. We live in that age when people are rejecting the truth of the Word of the Lord. As the days of Lot were, so shall there be the coming of the Lord. And Lot's day was a day of perversion, and certainly we live in that. So you put the two together, we see that we're living just exactly at the time that is very possible for the Lord to come, and the days are counting down. Every day, every month, every year, we come closer to the Lord, and we should be thankful that God has permitted us to live in this particular time frame. We should live truthfully and right in the light of the coming of our Lord. These verses, all of them tonight as we've read, is about the coming of Jesus Christ. And certainly we should live in that light, knowing that we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up. As a believer, as a Christian, nothing will prevent that. Nothing will keep that from happening. Verse 17 says, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? The dead in Christ. Those that have been taken to the cemetery, those that have been gone away from us, then we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is finality. That is all. When we meet the Lord, we are forever with the Lord, never to be changed. And he that died and rose again one day is coming to take us. And those that have died in Christ, there is a great resurrection. I don't only believe in the resurrection of Christ, but I believe in the resurrection of the Christian, the child of God. We don't go to the cemetery having no hope. We don't go there thinking, well, this is all of it. That's it. I'll never see them again. And we know the Scripture teaches in that resurrection of believers, the child of God, alive at the time when he comes, shall be changed. They'll escape death, and death has taken its toll for centuries. Year after year, we have people that leave this world. We wait for people to die. We wait for people to expire. We have not necessarily the time, but we know time draws near to some folks. I was reading last night, some of my kin folks had on Facebook that one of their uncles had died, and they were waiting time frame, knew it was close, and all through the day they said, it's just getting closer and closer, so we wait for that thing called death. But thank God we may not have to do that. We might have to go through that. But you know what we're doing right now? We're waiting for death. We're waiting for that process to take place in us, and it's all very natural. But thank God there's a better day coming. There's a better day ahead. And my aunt there in Cincinnati, we have no idea how long she's going to last. Lasted longer than most of them thought. So I think they said she was down to 70-something pounds and just barely living. The body wants to live. The soul wants to stay united with the flesh and the blood. But there's a day coming when we'll expire, we'll leave, and then we'll go be with the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. To go to the cemetery with a believer, we do not say goodbye. We really do not have a final goodbye on that, because we know they're coming back. We know that there's going to be a resurrection of their body. And when the Lord comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't know if the tombstones will be turned over like we read about and think about. I don't know if the graves will be disturbed. I really doubt it. I think they'll just go, and there'll be a resurrection, and they'll go to be with the Lord in their new body. And so we find here that Paul says, I don't want you ignorant of those things, and therefore comfort one another. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that if we had no hope? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we went to the cemetery and said, well, I'll never see them again. I'll never be with them again. That's the words of the lost. That's the words of a non-believer. But thank God we will see them again. We will be with them forever and forever. As the Scripture says here in verse 7, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a grand, glorious gathering that will be, those that have gone on before us. And so we ought to live every day with Christ coming in mind. He is coming. And it could be today. It could be tonight. We think about the coming of the Lord being at the midnight hour. The Lord even illustrates it like that. But where it's midnight somewhere, it's daylight somewhere else. But the Lord is coming. And whether noon or night, thank God we know He's coming. And we ought to be rejoicing and be thankful that God has put us in this time frame. And then this next thing to be thankful for is maybe a little bit strange when you first think about it, but we should live and rejoice and be thankful for the judgment of God that we will face. Somebody said, well, I don't want to face judgment of the Lord. I don't want the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to go there and have all of my things, all of my life exposed, because we are, the judgment is not for salvation. The judgment is for our works, our deeds. We gain rewards or we lose rewards. We don't lose our soul. And somebody said, well, I don't think that's too good to be rejoicing in or to be thankful for. Well, on the other hand, though, there's only one other judgment, and that's the judgment of the lost. So I'm thankful I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. As sad as that might be for my life and for yours, as many things that we have faltered and failed in, thank God we're going to heaven. And we're not going to the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment of the lost. The judgment seat of Christ follows, I think, very closely after the rapture that we read about here in 1 Thessalonians. And the Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man will give an account for his deeds, for the things done in his body. It's not the deeds of salvation. That salvation is not even in question. Salvation is not even thought about at either one of the judgments. That is settled during life. That is settled during our stay upon this earth. And that'll determine which judgment we go to. And as hard as the judgment seat of Christ might be, the only other alternative is the white throne. And we certainly don't want that. We certainly don't want to be at that judgment, because there heaven and earth flee away. There's no place found there. And Jesus tells those folks, even that are religious, that said, Lord, we did this and we did that. And He said, I don't know you. Not only that, I never knew you. And they are cast into the lake of fire. So we're going to give an account of our deeds, of our service. That's why it's important to live for the Lord. That's why it's important that we do what we can do for Christ, work for the Lord. The song says, work for the night is coming, for there comes a time when no man shall work. And so I guess this judgment seat, we could call it examination day. God looks at us. God sees us. God sees and knows everything about us, and it's exposed to us. And we will give an account. And I believe there is where the tears of heaven may be, as we see all the failures that we didn't have to have. We see all the problems spiritually that we did not have to have. And then the Bible says the Lord wipes away all those tears, and they're never remembered against us again. Rewards await those who have served Christ faithfully. Not too long ago, maybe a year or so back, we went through the different crowns that the child of God can win and can have. And so that's the rewards. And Revelation says when we get there, we're going to cast our crowns at His feet, and we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Not that we're worthy, but worthy is the Lamb, and that died, shed His blood, gave His life, And we will see those things, and we'll give our crowns back to Him. Those rewards that He's given to us is all because of Him anyway. And then we turn and give them back to Him. Examination day, reward day. And everything we see here perishes. Everything we touch here, everything on this side of eternity is temporal, temporary. But that's why the Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt. Thieves don't break through and steal, and they're safe there with the Lord. And we wonder, what kind of judgment will we have? We know more about it than anybody else other than Christ. And so I pray the Lord would help us to be thankful in the time that we live right now. The countdown's going. He's coming. And thank God for the judgment that we'll be in as a believer, as a Christian. As hard as that is, and as sometimes thought-provoking and going through things and falters and failures, we think one day I'll stand before God with what I've said, with what I've done, with what I've thought, the actions I've had, the attitude I've had. We'll stand before the Lord with that. And it's not going to be a great time. It's not going to be a wonderful time, but it's far better than the other judgment that takes place 1,000 years later. Our judgment comes right after the rapture, and we are in heaven forever and ever, tears wiped away, the land of no mores, and we're there throughout all eternity. But those that are lost, they have to wait another 1,000 years, and they stand before God, and He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'm thankful I'm going to be at the judgment seat. I'm thankful I live right now. I'm thankful that the countdown is going and Jesus is coming. And may the Lord bless us till we arrive there, either by death or by rapture. One of these days we're going as a believer, as a Christian. We have the hope. It's called the blessed hope in the New Testament. So I pray this Thanksgiving we'll remember the joys that He's given to us and the things that are right before us. You look at the world tonight, Jesus is coming. Now you look at the attitude of people, Jesus is coming. They hate, they deny, they reject. And that's when He said, if the goodman of the house had known that the thief was coming, He said He'd have watched. Watch ye therefore, for in the hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming, and we need to be watching. Let's stand together tonight. And